A week at the Capitol, notable for what passed and what didn't or hasn't. It won't arrive tomorrow, but its arrival seems inevitable. Marijuana. The legislature wrestles with who gets to grow, sell, smoke, or otherwise consume it, and when. We'll have an update. But first, a new approach to funding Arkansas's post-secondary schools. A newsmaker interview begins Arkansas Week in a moment.
Arkansas Week is made possible in part by the Arkansas Times, keeping you informed by covering people, events, and politics in Arkansas. By FM 89, KUAR in Little Rock, with in-depth news reporting, analysis, and discussion each weekday.
Hello again, everyone. Thanks very much for joining us for Arkansas Week, another busy week at the Arkansas State Capitol, and we'll have our roundtable in just a moment. First, what is described as a signature change, a milestone in higher education funding in Arkansas, signed into law this past week by Governor Hutchinson. One of the architects of that program is with us now, Dr. Maria Markham, Director of the Department of Higher Education. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
How significant a shift is this when, after all, higher ed funding has remained flat now for a number of years?
It's a complete departure from what we've done in the past. We've had $10 million committed to make this new funding formula actionable by the governor. And we expect to see that in the second year of the biennium, 2018-19, to move our schools from enrollment-based, headcount, needs-based funding to productivity-based.
Is there concern? There is, frankly, on some academics with whom I've spoken, some administrators and a good many professors, that inevitably, invariably, the pressure is going to be on them to socially promote in order to bolster funding for their institutions.
I think that once institutions have a better understanding of what's contained in the productivity funding model, this will not be as much of a concern. We don't look at graduation rates. We're looking at productivity in a lot of different ways, and most of those measures go to close the attainment gap of our underrepresented populations, those that are in low-income situations, and also our non-traditional students. So we're not looking at graduation rates comparing one school to the next. It's what your institution does from one year to the next to improve the quality, not the quantity, of students who are coming through your institution.
Well, still the goal would seem to be to get them degreed, if you will, either 2 or 4 year.
Of course.
And we're not talking only, are we, about a 4 year program or bachelor's or degrees only, but certificates as well.
Correct. We want to see an increase in our workforce, the quality of our workforce in Arkansas. So we are looking to incentivize everything from non-credit short-term credentials through postdoctorate degrees.
Well, the goal, as I understand it, is to not double, but by increase by something like a third those successfully completing a program, and to get it done within the next 6 or 7 years. That's pretty ambitious. Is there a fear, as a professional educator, a kind of no child left behind?
I can see where faculty and academic administrators might have that fear. I
think pretty ambitious.
Right. I think the important thing to remember is that the department has never really been the quality police on academic programming. We're more of a coordinating agency. We look at programs that are introduced. We do some every 10 years. We do a program review. But really, your accreditor is your quality check, and that will remain the same. So accreditation is another master that higher education institutions have to serve besides higher ed. So it will be a balancing act to make sure that the quality of your academic programming doesn't suffer in pursuit of quantity of students that are coming through the pipeline for funding.
Well, another objective, as I understand it, is one that has been shared by a great many educational planners anyway, for frankly decades in Arkansas, and that's duplicative programs at various campuses, that there needs to be more specialization by individual institutions, that all institutions simply cannot offer the same programs. You won't want to address that?
Sure. That's not something that is necessarily addressed in the funding model, but it is something that's been a concern of our coordinating board. Does every institution really need a education program? Does every
right.
institution or need to have a welding program? Exactly. We want to make sure that we are providing access to students in all parts of the state to receive the type of training that is relevant to that student in that area without a duplication of services that's very costly to taxpayers and to the higher ed funding model and to students. So we do look at that anytime a new program is proposed. Where are they? Where's the closest program to that? What's the enrollment like in the other programs in the state? And is it really necessary?
But in so doing, do you run the risk of undermining the political base, if you will, for mm-hmm. each of these institutions?
Right.
It's very tough to get rid of a program once you.
Correct.
Quoting Ronald
Reagan. Some of the things that we do at the program, we look at viability, how many students are in the program and how many are graduating. So if it's something that is low viability, again, as a coordinating agency, we may not recognize that program for funding in the future if we see that it's not meeting those viability standards. But really, at the end of the day, Amendment 33 guarantees institutions autonomy. They can offer whatever they want. It's just whether or not we will recognize that for funding purposes in state dollars.
Well, given that higher ed is flat, and even with, by the way, mm-hmm. it's $10 million, I think, in what, fiscal 19 that
yes,
the administration has proposed, mm-hmm. which would be mid-year.
Yes.
Next year. Assuming that this is shared by various campuses, $10 million is more than I made last week, but that's not a lot of money.
No, it's not. It is a welcome increase for a state funding source that has not increased in about 15 years to any substance. We know that on our needs-based model that we're currently under, we are currently recommending to the legislature a funding level that is roughly $370 million more than we get. So there's a large gap between what we need and what we actually get. So no, it's not a lot. It sounds like a lot, but when you spread that among institutions that have high level of unmet need, it will help, and we have a long way to go.
All right. Where do you want to be in 5 years?
With the funding?
No, well, higher. Well, throw that in as
okay.
well. Well, higher ed. Do you see?
we would like to be within 5 years. I would like to be at the SREB average for most of our measures. At this point, we're at the bottom. We're 49th on just about every measure. So we are hoping to increase our attainment and graduation rate to be at the level of our peers in the Southern Regional Education Board area. So I think within 5 years we can be at that average, and then we can start looking at becoming a leader. And I think that's where our new accountability model will place us.
How much can you do with realistic funding levels on faculty salaries, which has been a sore point for a decade?
I don't think that the new funding model with $10 million is going to move the needle on faculty salaries. I think that will have to come from other sources based on the level of funding where institutions are now.
All right. Dr. Markham, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Come back and report again after
okay.
a few months.
Very good.
Thank you. We'll be right back. And we are back, and with some more fiscal issues in the news, Hoyt Purvis joins us from the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, where he is a columnist, and Bobby Ampersand from Arkansas Public Media. Roles change, Hoyt, and that's why I stumbled for so long with the University of Arkansas's Political Science and Journalism Department. So why don't I just kind of start with you, heard the interview with Dr. Markham. This has been, higher ed funding has been, having disclosed now your bona fides in the higher education funding has been hung in the craw of higher ed anyway for decades.
It has, and while it appears that a lot of thought and effort has gone into developing this new scheme, the funding formula, bottom line is you can have a good formula, but you still got to have the funding. And while on a number of levels I think the new plan does make some sense, the challenge remains for everyone involved in higher education leadership and state government finding increased funding possibilities, because Arkansas continues to lag significantly in that area.
Well, still with fiscal affairs, that kind of lends itself to the matter of tax revenues. Obviously, Bobby, how much is there to spend? We saw this past week the governor sign into law legislation which he supported, which exempts income from the income tax retired military veterans pay. And, of course, there are some other tax reduction legislation already signed.
Right, but there are tax increases that are part of that package, and they include, and this one
the soda
surprises me. Well, they include soda, but they include unemployment benefits, a hike in taxes or new taxes on unemployment benefits, as well as digital downloads, as I understand it. And Republicans in the state that have been on board with this plan have taken some heat from Grover Norquist's Americans for Tax Reform group. And I think it's interesting that I think they've argued that this is revenue neutral. These are not new taxes. They're offsetting. But nonetheless, when you discuss taxes, whether it's unemployment benefits or online sales, there's going to be blowback. And I've been watching Twitter, and there's been a lot of blowback on the proposal to Republicans would say that the tax sales tax was always there. The onus was on the person who purchases the product. But this would build the taxes into the online transaction, and that's the difference.
Yeah, it's a tax is a tax, and you know you can try to present things in different ways. But obviously, if you're going to cut taxes and to decrease revenue, then there's going to be some pressure to fund resources to balance that out. Well, the problem, of course, and Bobby alluded to this, is the fact that there are more than a few of our legislators who have taken the solemn oath that they will never, under any circumstance, support any possible kind of tax increase. Well, that's going to be very interesting to watch, and not just obviously now, but in the coming years.
Yeah, and several of them have kept that pledge and won't go along with maybe the larger Republican majority on this tax plan.
Well, I mean, obviously it does seem to be getting some try. This is not a new issue. Taxing internet sales, capturing sales tax revenue lost to internet sales, is not a new issue. It's been around for longer than a decade. And I think it's interesting that the gentleman who sits for the 3rd District in Arkansas, Mr. Womack, is once in Congress, once again, is putting his shoulder behind that wheel.
I think without a doubt, in this state, the person who's carried that mantle the longest has been the 3rd District Republican, Steve Womack, without a doubt. I think the governor, state representatives like Charlie Collins from Fayetteville, this is kind of a 2017 General Assembly issue. I think for Womack, it's been as long as he's been a congressman, which has been several years.
And Mr. Collins is not known as a tax and spender in most circles anyway.
No, and I think he, again, I'm going a lot on what I see, the back and forth on Twitter, but he kind of struggles to defend his position. The way that he's defended it is that folks who have purchased things from Amazon or eBay were supposed to file it for their taxes. I don't know the lingo, but it's on the purchaser to pay state taxes on those purchases. Of course, no one hardly does, and the state never comes after them.
But this becomes more and more of an issue because so much business is now transacted over the internet, and there's every reason to believe that trend is going to continue very strongly. So
it's already in the hundreds of billions of dollars annually.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Amazon hasn't disputed this. Amazon, according to reports, has supported this state, you know, initiative, legislative initiative. So it seems like everyone's on board except those who would advocate for tax austerity.
Okay, there was much to do on the social/cultural calendar and the General Assembly's agenda this past week, Bob.
Yeah, I was keenly interested in Jonesboro Republican Brant Smith's legislation on sanctuary campuses. These are, I guess, somewhere outside of Arkansas. There are university campuses that when federal immigration authorities come knocking. They withhold information on undocumented immigrants that might be students there. By all accounts, this is not happening in Arkansas, but the representative from Jonesboro, Brant Smith, filed this bill as a preemptive measure, and it was shot down. The governor, Asa Hutchinson, said, we don't want to send the message to students going to our universities trying to have a better life, the next generation of our leaders potentially, feeling like there's police that could knock on their dorm doors at any moment. So that was one. Another is Perryville Republican Representative Mary Bentley's prohibition for food stamp users on junk food, a junk food prohibition on food stamps, narrowly was defeated in a Senate committee after several advocates for the grocers and beverage industry came out opposed to it. So these are interesting defeats for Republicans that I think are presenting some legislation that seems to be not outside of the pale in terms of conservatives.
Yeah, conservatism. Bentley's bill was the Healthy Food Improvement Act, I think, and on the face of it, and certainly at the beginning of the session, it looked like that was a sure thing. I mean, it just seemed like there were lots of co-sponsors of her legislation. Similarly, with the proposal about sanctuaries and with Mr. Smith from Jonesboro, again, if you look at the big picture of what's happening, you would think, well, this is a sure thing. But in fact, there were people who were willing to sort of step back and look at this and not just rush to pass another bill which might not really have that much application for Arkansas.
Right. And right. There still remains some abortion legislation pending.
That's right.
Well, I mean, I don't want to sound too cynical here, but if there's a restriction or a regulation that hasn't been approved by the Arkansas legislature so far on that subject,
right.
I'm sure someone will find it.
Bobby, you've done a lot of reporting this past week on medical marijuana. Where are we now?
Right. So the Medical Marijuana Commission met on Tuesday. And I'll tell you, the spirit of that commission is positive. They're sunny. I won't use the word high, but they are looking ahead to the future. They're just weeks away probably from the first public hearing on their set of rules and procedures. Of course, this is happening concurrently with legislation that's been filed by Bigelow Republican Senator Jason Reipert that would functionally end medical marijuana, as well as Springdale Representative Robin Lundstrom, a fellow Republican, who has three bills, two of which would prohibit the eating or drinking of any kind of medicinal marijuana, as well as the smoking of marijuana. And this is aggressive legislation. So we have this, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I think the commission wants to affect the voter-approved medical marijuana program in the state. I think there are some legislators that want to rein it in. And then you've got North Little Rock Republican Doug House. He's been the legislature's kind of steward for let's roll out this program responsibly. And this week, the House committee that heard his slate of bills supported it. They passed it. So,
well, let's roll it out responsibly, and cooler heads will probably. But sooner or later, we're going to have some litigation on this, it would appear.
I'm sure there will be. I mean, the other thing that I think people need to keep in mind is we're not months away. We may be a year away from, if in fact the program.
Yeah, the timeline continues. Is kind of difficult to establish with all this.
I think early on people thought that this might be something available this summer or early fall. It's not going to be available for until 2018, I think, at the earliest. The infrastructure involved in dispensaries and cultivation facilities is pretty huge. So, and it's expensive.
A lot of this legislation at the local level seems to be tinged or have more than a passing resemblance to some of the controversies, Hoyt, in Washington, particularly the sanctuary cities thing with the immigration. Of course, the Ninth Circuit handed the Trump administration something of a setback. But then one of the two gentlemen who sit for the Senate from Arkansas has taken up the banner.
Well,
after a fashion.
Yeah, you're right, of course, and it's been sort of a nonstop news and new developments and coming out of Washington almost by the minute. Certainly one of the most notable things that happened, of course, was the decision in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, the three-judge panel that, in effect, ruled against the executive order President Trump had introduced or put forth. And what's interesting is that Senator Cotton continues to have a rather high profile nationally. And a couple of things that one is that he has introduced and was a principal sponsor of a legislation to establish something he calls RAISE, which is Reforming American Immigration for Strong Employment. And what he's proposing is to significantly limit the numbers coming to this country, but to focus on those who would bring certain skills and knowledge, and particularly in the high tech area. Now, also, of course, related to all this, we just had the decision last night by the Ninth Circuit, and Senator Cotton wasted no time, first of all, in saying that this should be appealed immediately to the Supreme Court. Well, there are other issues involved there that will come into play. But he also called the Ninth Circuit the notorious left-wing, the most notorious left-wing court in America, leaving little doubt about how he viewed it. So obviously the many issues coming out of Washington, the cabinet members' approval so far, all the Arkansas senators have supported all those who've come up for a vote so far, and it looks like nearly all, if not all, of the cabinet nominees will be approved.
Interesting that much of the Trump administration's policy, particularly involving trade, immigration, you know, we had legislation here on sanctuary cities and sanctuary campuses and the like. This always sets Governor Hutchinson's eyebrows to an arch. That was an awkward phrase there, but he has been very skeptical. I think it's fair to say very concerned, anyway, would be his term, about the administration vis-a-vis almost every trade and immigration issue that's come along, and so has the Arkansas business community, as best I've been able to sample it.
Well,
and the farm, to include the farm.
You're certainly right about trade and international economic issues, because Arkansas has such a heavy stake in international business. And yet we have an administration that seems to want to go in a completely different direction than has been the case in the past. Now, and obviously for someone like Governor Hutchinson, but also members of the Arkansas congressional delegation, that at some point that may become a serious issue for them. But the reality is, things are still getting sorted out in Washington on a number of these issues, and what we may have believed last week may not prove to be the case at all by next week.
Yeah. Bobby?
Well, I was just going to say that I'm reminded of an interview that Governor Hutchinson gave to NPR, I think, about a year ago in February of 16. This was days after he had endorsed Marco Rubio as his candidate for governor, in which he was asked about Trump, and he called him frightening and a juggernaut, and he's getting better. And that wasn't a compliment, necessarily. He was getting better at campaigning. I think our governor is really jobs-focused, and I think he sees the economy as Arkansas state economy as a global player. Certainly he would want it to be that way. You know, I'm reminded of Cuba and potentially the rice opportunities to sell rice there. So this is something that he'll handle very gingerly, because he and his economic development impresario Mike Preston have been pretty ambitious, really. It's top of his agenda, and I think the international policies that the new administration has seemed to put into play or be considering are not necessarily advantageous, I don't think this governor would say.
We will continue to monitor. We're out of time. Guys, thanks to you for coming in. As always, thanks to you for watching, and we'll see you next week.
Arkansas Week is made possible in part by the Arkansas Times, keeping you informed by covering people, events, and politics in Arkansas. By FM 89, KUAR in Little Rock, with in-depth news reporting, analysis, and discussion each weekday.